sleeping patterns and alertness vary, but you are the God who is unchanging. And Lord, even in this, your providence, we can see our weakness, our frailty. Just an hour, how much it can change, Lord. And this reminds us of how much we need you. So, Father, as undoubtedly things were hectic this morning for some of us, I don't know it was for me, pray, Lord, that you would calm us, give us what we need so that we can receive your word, and help us, Lord, to be attentive. Do a work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Two questions from the same household. I won't say the household because they'll probably say it themselves. Not that it's actually, it'll probably give it away. Okay, here's the question. There's this group who are saying black people are Israelites. How many of you have heard of this group? Yeah, it's not just black people. More on that soon. And my husband had a Haitian co-worker who says he is an Israelite. What is your take on that? Israelite. So this group, cult, would call themselves Hebrew Israelites, the 12 tribes, different factions, basically the same premise. And that is that the 12 tribes of Israel are actually 12 ethnicities that exist today. I'm going to miss some of them, but some of these tribes would be Haitians, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Native Americans, Dominicans. Who else? And of course, your descendant of slave, the African American. And the African American, the black, if you will, would be considered the tribe of Judah. What tribe is Haiti supposed to be?
Levite.
Levite, yeah, okay. And they are growing in their popularity. They're growing in their numbers. They have seduced some celebrities. They've seduced some people who claim to be Christian, even some Christian artists. This false teaching has found its way in some churches. And you say, well, what's the big deal, I guess, about that? Well, as you can imagine, doctrine is always connected to bigger doctrine, deeper principles, foundational things. And so the idea of this cult is that these 12 tribes, which are not who you would think are the Jewish people of today, they would say that is actually the synagogue of Satan that was talked about in Revelation chapter 3. Those people are not Jews. Those people are Edomites. Those people are from the tribe of, the people of Esau. You know, Jacob had a brother. His brother was Esau. Esau came out. And what did he look like when Esau came out? Hairy and what color? Red. And so they have a strategy, and I'm very familiar with this cult because I was introduced to them when I was in high school. I remember I was watching Jerry Springer in high school. And on this show, they had Ku Klux Klan and these guys who were dressed in these very strange outfits. And they were battling worldviews. Because the Ku Klux Klan would say that they are Christians. They would use the Bible to support their error. And here are these other guys who I'd never heard of before. And they were quoting scripture and they were strong and confident. And they were reading things from the Bible. And I was just blown away by this. And in San Antonio, there was actually a school that these guys taught at. So me and my friend, we went there and they had a whole presentation waiting for you. So they have poster boards and pictures, and they have one guy who stands up and he reads the Bible, and another guy who talks, and then the guy take pauses, and it's very, very overwhelming. It's a lot of showmanship, drama, all of that, and it can be very alluring. And one of the things that they were bringing out to me and my friend back when I was in high school was, okay, think about Esau. He was red. Now, what people do you know, their skin turns red? And then they show a picture. I think they had a picture of like Robin Williams. And this was a very hairy man, right? And say, look how hairy he is. And you're seeing all these things. He said, why would they describe him? Because he must have looked different from his brother. He must have looked different from his parents. You don't describe what's normal. You describe what's abnormal. You point out what stands out. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense. And they show this picture of the guy who's typically supposed to be Jesus. And then they show you another picture and they say, well, who do you think that is? And you say, oh, that's Jesus. And they say, wrong. That is, and they... His name was Caesar Borgia. He was of the Borgia clan, and he was the son of Pope Alexander. And they're saying all this history, and you're like, I never even heard of this. And he does look like that guy. And so they do this whole thing, and they're very, very convincing. And what they're trying to communicate is that the 12 tribes of Israel have always been these more darker-skinned ethnicities, these minorities, if you will. And because they rebelled, they didn't obey the law, God sent them into the dispersion. He sent them into exile, and they've been scattered all over the world. And salvation comes by knowing who you are, knowing who your tribe is, and coming back to the law. Their gospel is a gospel of works. Their gospel is a gospel of salvation by ethnicity. In other words, if you are not of the 12 tribes, you cannot be saved. So, let's unpack this a bit. Who knows the history of Haiti besides the Lewises? How did Haiti become Haiti?
Slave revolution.
So this island, which is now called Haiti, how did people get there? They were brought there, right? From where?
Africa.
From Africa. And then what happened? Who dominated them? Who controlled them? Who enslaved them? The French. And you had some intermarrying, some of that forced, right? So the Haitian people, similar to the Puerto Rican people, you think of the Mexicans. Well, how did the Mexican become the Mexican? Spanish, right? The conquistadors, Cortez, these people came and colonized, intermarried, intermixed. You had these Native American tribes, Aztec, Mayan, Incas, if you go deep enough into Mexico, you can still find the people who are native. They have not been touched by this Spaniard. You know, they don't speak Spanish. They speak the language of the original people. So what does this tell us? Same thing with the Dominicans. It tells us that this ethnicity did not exist prior to this colonization. You didn't have a Haitian, you didn't have a Dominican, you didn't have a Puerto Rican, you didn't have a Mexican, because this slave trade, colonization, intermarrying, intermingling did not even occur back when the Bible was written. So how could you have these people being the 12 tribes when these people as an ethnicity did not even exist? More than that, let's say that it is true. Let's say that the original 12 tribes were actually, they looked like me instead of like, who? Oh, yeah, instead of like Chris. All right. There you go. You get pointed out, brother. What does that matter? Here's what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 2. Verse 28. Somebody read that. In verse 29.
But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. Not from a man.
So even if we could prove, which you can't, because it defies all history, it defies all logic, it defies science, it is just completely fabricated. And, oh, I forgot to add this. I'm sorry. Pause. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You say, how do they even come to this conclusion that these people are the people that they are? Two main ways. One is the blessings of Israel to his sons. Remember at the end of Israel's life, he's blessing his sons, says this to Judah, says this to Naphtali, says this to Asher, says this to Levi, says this to Benjamin, right? On and on it goes. And they say, okay, and they pull out these. Some of it is actually all of it is laughable. I think either Issachar or Manasseh is the Mexican. And they say, and it says of Issachar that they will have like many children or something like that. And they say, and don't you know that Mexicans have a lot of children? That's how we know it's them. Exactly. You're saying this is absolutely ridiculous. Is anyone actually taking this serious? Yes. Yes, people are taking it serious. But the main thing that gets a lot of people is Deuteronomy 28. These are the curses that come upon those who do not obey the law. This is going to happen to Israel for not obeying the law. And they go to Deuteronomy 28, specifically verse 68. Now, they will only read from the King James Version because the King James Version words things in a way that allows them to say the certain things that they want to say. But what does Deuteronomy 28, verse 68 say?
And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt.
Well, wait a minute. That's how they do it. Wait, stop right there. They'll bring you back how? Ships. Now, what people do you know that were brought to slavery through ships? And what do they have right there? A picture of the slave ship. And you say, oh, you're right. And we're not educated on, well, I didn't know slavery was a worldwide thing and the Russians were enslaved and the Chinese were enslaved and this whole thing. And so you're just, Black History, they said slaves and there's a picture and they sure were there. And I've been to a museum and I've seen it. And they say, there you go. That's all you need to see. Now, they don't keep reading, but let's keep reading.
Journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourself for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer.
You see how that completely takes away the whole thing, right? You will sell yourselves as slaves, but no one will buy you. Is that what happened to the African? No, they were taken and sold, and that was the whole thing. This is the curse saying you're going to be so, the punishment of God is going to fall upon you so severely that you would rather be a slave, but no one won't want you. That's how bad it's going to be. But what they do is they take this verse and they jump to another verse and they jump to another verse and they say, see, that's Jesus said, line upon line, precept upon precept. You're not supposed to read the whole thing. Just a line here, a line there, a little here, a little there. That's how you're supposed to read the Bible. And when people are biblically illiterate, as I was in high school and then as I was in when I first started college and I met them again and I actually joined them because I was utterly convinced these people had the truth. Of course, lost. I didn't get it. But here, back in Romans 2, what are we told? Even if you could prove that this was the case, the Bible says absolutely clearly that no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly. I mean, that just settles the whole thing. Salvation is not by being a Jew. And if you go even further to Romans 3, verse 9, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So even if it could be proven that somebody is somehow a ethnic Jew and they say, see, I prove it. Here's my lineage. I did the ancestry.com and look, I really am. I could trace my lineage all the way back to the Exodus. So what? What does that prove? 1 Corinthians 10 says a lot about those who were in the Exodus, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 10, 1, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. These are the people who were in the Exodus. These are the people who walked through the sea. They ate the manna. They drank water from the rock. They were with Moses. God led them by day in a pillar of cloud, by night in a pillar of fire. He spoke to them. They experienced things that you and I have never even dreamed of seeing. Talk about experiences. If somebody comes to you with their experiences, hey, I know that I'm with God because I experienced this and I heard this voice and I saw this and God did this and he spoke to me and I saw this angel and I saw that. All that pales in comparison to what these people saw, ate, experienced. It's documented. Nobody else ate manna and you never will. This is only these people who experience this, and yet what does God say about them? Nevertheless, not denying it happened, with most of them, God was not pleased. You could have all of those things happen and God not be pleased with you. That's not any indication that God is for you, with you, or in you. That's no guarantee that you are a believer because you experience things, because you have supernatural experiences. None of that matters. God could speak directly to you from heaven. And that does not mean that you are born again. Matthew 7, what does it say? On that day, many will say to me, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And Jesus says, no, you didn't. No. He says, I never knew you. So you could prophesy, cast out demons, do many miracles, as Judas did, and not be known by God. So it's not about being an ethnic Jew. That doesn't matter. It's not about having supernatural experiences. That doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is, are you in Christ? Are you born again? Have you been forgiven? Is your name written? Again, at the end of the day of all days, and everyone standing before the throne, the only question is your name in that book? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, right. And I'll say this to you. The people that you envy today, the people that you look at and say, man, I'd love to trade places with them. Look at their house, look at their car, look at their job, look at this. They have this many followers. They have this. They're known. On that day, the only thing that will matter is my name in that book. That's it. So it's not about being one of the 12 tribes. It's not about did you walk with Moses? Did you eat manna? Did you hear God speak to you? Did you see an angel? Did you feel something in church? That's another thing. Well, I know I'm a believer because I felt this thing. Are you in Christ? Have you been born again? Have you believed the gospel? That's what matters. Do you know him? And does he know you? And it's a deception of the enemy to make people put their confidence in something. Think of it's insanity, but that's what they were doing in Jesus' day. Abraham's our father. We have Moses. I'll raise up children from these stones. They're clinging to something that you had absolutely no control over. What ethnicity you are. None. You didn't say, you know what? Like, you know, those little surveys. What ethnicity are you? I'm this one. You check it out. That's not what happened in the womb. You didn't. What ethnicity do you want? I think I want to be Dominican. No, that's not what happened. God determined the allotted periods, boundaries of your life. He chose what you're going to look like, where your family were going to be from, what were the conditions, the surroundings. He determined all of that. You had no choice. And salvation is for all who will believe. And on that day, the final day, in Revelation, beautiful picture, chapter 7. Verse 9. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. Now, we just got a number, 144,000, and that could be numbered. If this is a literal 144,000, we got a problem here. But what this is, you got 12 times 12, 12 tribes, 12 apostles, this perfect number of 12, a picture of God's people, 1,000, a number that is huge, expansive. 144,000, the full number of God's people, true Israel, the true Jew, the circumcised of heart. I beheld a great multitude that no one could number from what? Every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. They're all wearing the same thing. The Jews aren't given a special robe with a star of David on it, and these are given a special robe with their flag on it. No, in some way we'll be able to tell the distinctions. Every nation, every tribe, every language, and yet all wearing the same thing. Unity and diversity, even in eternity. With palm branches in their hands, all holding the same thing, crying out with a loud voice, all saying the same thing. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. Our God. See? And to the Lamb. That is the bride. That is the, Joseph had a coat of many colors. And the Lord has a bride of many colors. And it is not by ethnicity that we're saved. It's not by experience that we're saved. It is by Christ and Him alone that we are saved. So the false gospel of the Hebrew Israelite points you toward the law. And we know that by the works of the law, who will be justified? No one. And yet you talk to him. Do you keep the law? I do my best. That's not what the Bible says. If you're not faithful to keep all of these curses will fall upon you. It's not do your best. That's the old covenant. The new covenant is found in Christ and his finished work. So you have these Israelite friends and you could spend 20, 30, 40 minutes arguing with them about whether or not they're an Israelite. I found it to be much more helpful to say, all right, let's say you are one. What are you going to do on the day of judgment? Is that going to save you? We could squabble over the history later. The main thing is to get to the main thing, and that is they're standing before God. Any follow-up thoughts or questions about that?
I just have a question or observation, something about this version of Revelation about every tribe and every nation.
Sure.
You always hear like the unreached people, which there still are unreached. So does this imply that like even though maybe not every single person will hear the gospel, that every single one of the unreached people, some people will hear the gospel, will go there?
The beautiful promise, every nation, every tribe, there will not be an unrepresented group. And so that tells us we can go with confidence that God has already told us how it's going to end. There will not be a people group who is unreached at the final day. And we don't know when that last person. And this is how I picture it, right? The last person who needs to come in, hears the truth, believes the gospel, and Christ returns. He's not going to come back until all of his are in. We don't know when that's going to happen. So this person that you talk to this week might be the last one. If you believe today, you might be the final one. And the Lord comes back. Not until all of the family are inside of the ark will the flood come. Then the door is shut. Okay, since we're in Revelation, here's the second question. The mark of the beast and the COVID vaccine. You know y'all were talking about it. All right. Since we were young, we heard about the mark of the beast. Amen. Some people believe that the COVID vaccine is the mark. That is a real belief. It's a growing belief. How should we respond to such a belief? So what do y'all think? The mark of the beast. Is that the COVID vaccine, can it be? Is that a possibility? Put y'all in the hot seat. Forehead of the right hand. Chapter 13. And verse 11. We'll start there. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. Is this a real beast? Should we expect to see some hairy monster? No, we know this is what? Symbolic. Rising out of the earth. Is that literal? That's symbolic. We're not expecting to see creatures rising. This is not a scary movie. It had two horns. Is that literal? Nope. The horns as well. Like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. Same question. It exercises all authority, all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Now here's a question. Let's just think about this. When was this letter written about? First century. That's safe, right? I'm of the belief that this was not written after the destruction of the temple, simply because that would have been such a monumental event. It would have found its place in here. It would have been written about, but that's neither here nor there. First century, we got that. This is written to believers in the first century going through persecution. Amen. Verse 18. Is this possible if this is the COVID vaccine? This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. Could a believer in the first century with wisdom calculate COVID? Bill Gates, who else? Fauci, who else is supposed to be the anti? You know, all these people. Elon Musk, all of them. The trinity of wickedness, these three men. Is it possible that they could have, with wisdom, calculated these names and these numbers? And more than that, this mark is a name of a man. This is using... What is that term called? Big name to mean numbers and letters connect. Roman numerals are also words, and you could, you know, A is one. Sometimes kids will do these little, you know, codes and stuff, and because letters also corresponded with numbers. Gematria, I think, is what it's called. They're telling these people, you can actually come up with the calculation to figure out who we're talking about. Now, why would they put all this code? Because this was treason. To speak against Caesar meant death. To speak against the king meant death. And so they put this, just like believers do to this day. We were talking about China, Christians in China. Who was talking to us? Oh, David, last week. When David Berard came, and he was talking to us about this sister in China who was sending these emails, and they were written in code. Because when you're in a country where people monitor what you write, you have to be careful what you say. That's not a new thing. They've been doing that since the first century. So, aside from this being just completely cruel to the first century and say, look, I'm going to write you something that you could not, with all the wisdom of y'all collected, if you had Solomon, you could not calculate this number. So this has nothing to do with you. There's no help for you here. This is for people centuries and centuries later. I don't believe that that's what this is doing. But more than that, the reason why we read the context is because a lot more comes into this mark than just having something, if it's literal, stamped on your head or your forehead. There's an entire... this leads up to something, setting up an image, knowing that you're worshiping this thing. This goes with a theology. This goes with a rejection of Christ. This is a willing, knowing thing. For you to say, okay, they're telling me that we're going to die if we don't get this vaccine, and I'm convinced that people are going to get sick. I don't know. And so I'm going to take this. It's not a vaccine. Got it. Point being, I'm going to take this, whatever you want to call it, so that me and my family are not sick. That's not a mark of an image held up that rejects the Lamb as sovereign God. That has nothing to do with one another. You say, well, you can't buy, you couldn't sell. Well, you know, in Nazi Germany, the Jews could not buy or sell unless they had the star on them. So is the star the mark of the beast? You know, people were saying that during that time. Throughout history, many people have thought, this is the time. This is the man. They thought Hitler was the beast, the Antichrist. Stalin was the Antichrist. Mao was the Antichrist. Richard Nixon was the Antichrist. Barack Obama was the Antichrist. President Trump was the Antichrist. I mean, all these people have all these ideas. At the end of the day, when it comes down to it, I'm convinced that this is not a literal mark. And why do I say that? And this goes back to earlier what the Lord said to another church. Chapter 3. The Church of Philadelphia. Start with verse 10. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will, what? Write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. So you got some people who have the name of God written on them. And you got other people with the name of the beast written on them. What does this signify? What does this point to? Well, this goes to the understanding of slavery in the first century. They would brand slaves on the forehead with their owner's name. You could identify him. You see him in the market. I know who owns him. I know who owns her. The people of God, we are owned by the Lamb. And the forehead is what you believe, is what you think. The hand, the right hand, think of how often the hand is used in the Bible symbolically to mean this is what you do. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. All that your hands find to do, do with all your might. This is what you do, your work, what you believe and what you do. And if your belief and your life is identified with the beast, you are a rebel against Christ. You are Antichrist. If your thoughts and your behavior look like Christ, then you're one of His. This is the distinction. This is the line of separation between those who are of the Lamb and those who are of the beast. I don't believe this has anything to do with the COVID vaccine, though some people may try to make it that, self-fulfilling prophecy and all of that. There could be wicked people in smoky rooms trying to muhaha kind of stuff. Maybe. But they can't, as much as they try to make this, they can't force this to be something that it's not. Some people may try to create the mark of the beast with that intention, but that doesn't mean that that's what it is. So that's my take on that. If you want to take the shot, the pill, whatever they're going to do, you know, that's on you, between you and the Lord. You got to wrestle with that. Your convictions lie where they are. It's a serious thing. I know there are people who have died from it, but make no mistake, you cannot accidentally take the mark of the name of the beast. It's a willful decision because of a rejection of Christ. And I'll say this lastly, I also believe that though this was a real thing in the first century, this is something that will be presented to you daily. Will you identify with the beast or with the Lamb?
So can you elaborate a little bit on the numbers?
Sure. So 666, right? So that's different from just six, three sixes in a row. 666, and some translations say 616. When you calculate these numbers with the letters that correspond, it's supposed to say a man's name. And I'm of the belief that this was talking about the man who sat on the throne at the time, which was Nero. And John, who was a Jew but wrote in Greek, you can see it in some of his other writing. Though he wrote in Greek, he thought in Hebrew, which for those of you who speak multiple languages, you do that sometimes. You are speaking this language, but you're thinking in your... And so when you calculate the number of Nero's name with that structure and framework, it lines up. And so, you know, that's one take. Not everyone accepts that, but based upon what he did at the time he did it, both Peter and Paul martyred under his watch by his orders. The attack he made on the church and the Christians actually going through that suffering at the time. Again, I believe this was written early, not late, but everybody doesn't have that view. Yeah, it sure seems to me that this is who is being spoken about. But whether you believe that or not, the point is this is using gematria to calculate the number of a man, which was a very common thing that was done at the time, and even kids could do that very quickly. You know, some of y'all children might be able to do that. A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, and then you put your name together and add it up and say, okay, my name is 210 or something like that. I don't know, but you get the idea. And if you do that, a lot of people's numbers, names could line up to 666, couldn't they? It's not like there's only one name that could possibly do that. So this is why he's saying with wisdom, you people who I'm writing this to, you can do this. You can calculate this. But any other thoughts about that?
I'm of the camp where
Yeah. Yeah, this was a real, it's not just because I like history, but history is really important to this understanding, because the Roman Empire, you had these different guilds and trades, and all this is part and parcel to this. And here's the emperor. And if you don't sprinkle incense on the altar, Caesar is Lord, that shut a lot of doors for you. You know, you talk about meat offered to idols. You want to get meat? Where you got to go? Here's the temple. There's literally doors that would close to you because you would not sprinkle incense to Caesar and worship to him. And that cost believers their lives. It cost them their jobs. We read about this in the scripture, that you've had your possessions plundered and your things taken, and yet you remain firm. You stood ground. Unbelievers who don't want to take this vaccine are under the same consequences as you are. And there's a whole bunch of people who don't want anything to do with this vaccine or masks, and, you know, they're creating bunkers and all kind of stuff. They have no love for Christ. They don't care a lick about the Word of God. They want nothing to do with the people of God. And they are saying, we're not taking it either. That's not distinct. This is going to be so clear, so obvious. You're going to know what you're doing. And the consequences that come to you are going to be because of exactly what Jesus said. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for what? My name's sake. Not the Constitution, not my freedom, not my rights, for the sake of Christ. That's the distinct, that's the defining line. And you read the Fox's Book of the Martyrs, you read these accounts of believers who have gone through horrible things. It wasn't until the name of Christ came up that problems arose. Jews in the first century, you saw it. We have no king but Caesar. What? They were honoring the man who called himself God, and they were fine to do it. The high priesthood was corrupt. The Pharisees were corrupt. The Sadducees were corrupt. The synagogues were overthrown. Jesus said, synagogue of Satan. They were fine to sprinkle some incense to Caesar as long as they could get some favor from the empire. The church are the ones that stood out and said, we will not do this. Okay. Any final questions, comments, or thoughts? Our time's coming, brethren. Don't know how, don't know when, but it's promised. May we remain faithful, come what may. Father, thank you that salvation is not by ethnicity. Thank you that it's not by obedience to the law. Thank you that it is by grace, that it is in Christ, that it is salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone. Thank you, Lord, that all can be saved who come to you, that there are no prohibitions. As long as you are willing to repent and believe, you too can be saved. The Lord does not reject any who come to him. Thank you, Lord, for this wide open door of eternal life. Father, we don't know when this hammer is going to fall on us here in the West. We're feeling a little bit here and there, but it's nothing compared to what the majority of our brothers and sisters have gone through for ages. And we're starting to bristle at the slightest notion of rights being taken away. And Lord, help us to be firm. Help us to not be weak and fragile when our day comes. Help us to cling to Christ, not because we're strong, but because you're strong. Help us to hold fast to your word. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful as a church, though they seek to scatter us. Help us to not remain quiet. Help us to cling to Jesus, even in the face of torture and death. May our children be ready. May our wives be ready. May we be ready. We need you, Lord. You know us. You know us. In Jesus' name.